many things that held us down. But now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we'll let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together. We're polishing up our act.
Good evening, good evening, good evening to everyone. And let me be the first to say to you, Merry...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Merry Christmas. We're going to have a good time tonight in discussing very pertinent, relevant, on-time subject. We could not be any more on time than we are this evening. And we thank you for coming in. We won't hold you all night in this room. We do realize that it's holiday season, and many of you are celebrating with family. I see the room is kind of filled up here. I wasn't expecting it to do that, so I'm going to jump in. I'm grateful for all of you that have come in tonight, and especially Aladia, who is running our board and guiding our ship, and those of you that may be on this line. We're going to talk tonight about the real meaning of Christmas, and we're going to finally unveil the mystery of Santa Claus. We're going to look at that tonight. And this is the Royal Priesthood Bible Prayer and Fellowship line. So I'm going to jump right in with where I am tonight and start talking about the subject that is so apropos on this day. And there's a passage of Scripture tonight I want to take a look at metaphysically to try to explain to you some of the metaphysics and some of the esoteric meanings behind this passage found in Ephesians chapter 4. And starting at verse number 8, it says, "Wherefore he says," that's Ephesians 4, people. Verse number 8, "Wherefore he says, when he ascended on high," excuse me, "he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended," what is it but "he that also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heaven, that he might fill all things. And he gave gifts unto men." And that is what we want to look at tonight, that he gave gifts. He gave gifts, and he ascended. But before he ascended, he descended into the lower parts of the earth. And so tonight, as we look at the subject matter, the real meaning of Christmas, I wanted to talk to you from two standpoints as it relates to Christmas. We're going to look above us to what is the real meaning of Christmas. What actually can we see, and what actually can we observe by Christmas? What can we measure? What is actually going on at Christmas time? Well, of course, now, let me take you to the heavens, first of all. In the heavens, there is the precession of the sun. The sun moves along an ecliptic. It moves about 1 degree a day, and it moves in a circle or in its ecliptic, and it goes from the it goes from the equinox to the solstice, or it goes from the equator, and it moves around. It moves around in its ecliptic. Now, as it passes through its ecliptic on the 21st day of December, the sun enters into what is called the crux, which is a constellation in the shape of a cross. Actually, that word crux, or C-R-U-X, means cross. And it's right beneath the hinder part or the hind part of the Sagittarian constellation, right up under the Sagittarian constellation in the southern hemisphere. Now, when the sun goes there on December the 21st, actually it moves farther away from the Earth and the Earth in its orbit. And so we have what is called the shortest day in the year. The sun is cut. The sunlight is cut. If you had a sundial or if you had some instrument, other instrument, mechanism by which you could measure sunlight, you would actually be able to tell. You could actually pay attention if you went out previous days and monitored the length of the sun and what time it went down, you would be able to tell that the sun light is shortened on that day. Now, for the next 3 days, on the 22nd, the 23rd, and the 24th, on the very next 3 days, the sun, moving in its ecliptic, does not change its degrees. It does not change its degree. It rises what we say as rising and setting on the same degree. And it stays there for the 22nd, the 23rd, and the 24th. Now, something magical happens on the 25th, right above your heads. It's happening, whether you paid attention to it or not, whether you agree with it or not, whether you argue with it or not, it's happening, people. It happens regardless of your awareness of it or your contradiction of it. I don't think anyone in this room has enough power, enough influence to stop this process from happening. It happens. It happens. It happens. So what are we looking at here? We're looking at something that has just occurred above us that corresponds to a story we have in the Bible. A story we have in the Bible of the S-O-N being crucified and also being buried for 3 days and three nights, the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. The sun does not move in its ecliptic. It rises, as we say, and sets in the same degree. But then on the 25th day of December, it comes up, rises 1 degree, and on the ecliptic, we can measure it. The sun, in symbolic fashion, as we would say, is born. Or we could say it is reborn. It is born again. So now you see that there's a story going on above your head. There's a story, and I'm not trying to be cute here with rhyme. I'm not a poet, but there's a story in glory. There's a story above you that's happening. And so the sun then proceeds to, in its precession, to move, and then it crosses the equator, or crosses the equinox, and we enter into the spring equinox. In other words, it moves across the equator, and what happens? We go into springtime. The Jews call it Passover. Christians call it resurrection. But it is actually marking the precession of the sun. The sun is doing something above our heads. Now, did the ancients know this and they set these holidays in place to observe this and to pay attention to this? This is a cosmological fact. It is actually a fact, people. This is not fiction. This is not an allegory. This is not a parable. This is a fact of nature that is happening, that you that are listening to me know that it happens. Because how? You've experienced it. You've seen winter. You've seen summer. Now, what are the implications? That happens above you. That happens above you. Now, I want to tell you, we have this story. Some of the people were talking about the story of Santa Claus just a moment ago, and whether or not he's real or not, and if that is actually the truth, and some people believe that it's not. But I want to, down through the ages, there have been a lot of stories of fairies, of gnomes and mermaids and knaves and fabled characters galore. The ancient Norsemen, the Dutch, the Huns, all of the Oriental races possessed literature prolific with allegories, parables, and fables built around the wonders of the physical and chemical operations of the human body. Now, let me say that as slowly again. I said these stories are built around the wonders of the physical and chemical operations of the body. These stories. The birth of the monthly seed that happens in the body can be seen in the story of Mother Goose and similar tales in just about every land. Santa Claus or Saint Nicholas, the patron saint of the season. Santa Claus, the virgin children, the bearers of gifts to children on Christmas Eve. And all of these festivals all over the world, they that held in honor Santa Claus ranked first in the hearts of many people, young as well as old, and in itself is a most significant fact. And I'm going to try to dig into this tonight, because we've looked at the fact of something happening above us. Let's look at something that's happening in us at this time. And it's the same truth in regards to this age custom that the world has come to know. And the true significance, we're going to try to dig at it tonight, because we had a discussion earlier. Some of the ladies were talking about their children, and some children, they asked many questions in regards to this mysterious person, Santa Claus. And when they become a little too insistent, the ingenuity of parents sometimes is taxed to give a satisfactory answer. And there comes a time, however, when parents must have the Santa Claus myth explained to them, or children must have it explained to them, because in that deep childlike trust and confidence in their parents receives its first shock when they find out that maybe there wasn't a Santa Claus after all. And they commence to doubt their parents, to question their validity if you continue to try to tell them that there was actually a real Santa Claus. So, but there is a Santa Claus, and it's a physiological fact. I'll say that again. There is a Santa Claus, and it is a physiological fact. And it does secrete the most holy and wonderful gift or substance in the body of every individual. Let me say that again. There is a Santa Claus, and it is a physiological fact, and it does secrete the most holy and wonderful gift, a substance of the body in every individual. And those who understand it, who receive it in the right spirit, have become his little children. As above, so below. And so, as in the microcosm, the universe, so it is in the microcosm. So, as it is above, so it is below. As it is in the universal macrocosm, so it is in the microcosm, in the man. What you saw and what I explained to you earlier in the cosmos is actually a process that happens inside of you. Now, you can think about all of the parables, the fables, the allegories, the myths that have come down to us through the ages, that you may ask the question, do they really have any basic foundation? They, as well as the fast days and feast days, they are founded on esoteric truths. And I want to try to talk about some of those truths, just a few of them tonight. If they were not based in truth, these stories that we have, then they would have long ago passed into oblivion. We wouldn't even recognize it. But Santa Claus, let me dig at this for a moment. It's derived from the same root word as colostrum, from which cloister is also derived. Colostrum means a barrier. It's a covered place seclusion. Gloucester is referred to as a place of seclusion. And sort of like claustrophobia. And so it's a place of seclusion for something holy, something dedicated to divinity. There is a Santa Claus or colostrum with the cerebrum. And whoever gave it that name, they knew why they did it. The suture of the skull is the point where the bones meet, and we can easily see this place on the head of infants, and the sections are not then drawn closely together, and the vibrations of the brain can be both seen and felt in an infant. And in the Sanskrit, it's called, I believe it's called the door of Brahm, for it's the aperture through which the ego or the spirit leaves the body. And so the chimney of Santa Claus is right here, the Brahm. It's in the aperture of the brain before it becomes close, and we can see the vibrations of the brain actually in an infant before it compresses or comes together. So directly underneath this door of Brahm is a triangular shaped body named in physiology the island of Re'el. And Re'el is the place where John, if you remember him, he was on the island of Patmos. He looked back and he saw a wonderful vision of the regenerated, risen, glorified Savior in the Isle of Patmos. And this isle, in the central lobe of the cerebrum, is called the pole. Now listen to that. It's called the pole. The pole. Hence, the island of Re'el is the north pole of the body. And is, as we know, the imperishable sacred land. Now, in Santee's Anatomy of the Brain and Spinal Cord, we can find that this island is situated in the medial wall of the lateral fissure of the cerebrum between the frontal, parietal, and the temporal lobes, whose growth after the fifth month in the uterus gradually covers over. And at the end of the first year, an extrauterine life, it is entirely concealed and temporal, and its parietal and frontal parts of the operculum. Now, that simply means the cover or the lid. So we can see that Mother Nature has taken pains to cover this area. Now, underneath this island, and directly in line with the optic thalamus in the brain, lies the colostrum, but separate from it, but yet three other bodies. Now, the colostrum is a thin sheet of isolated gray matter found just medial to the island of Re'el. Now, Santee says in his anatomy that it's a sheet of peculiar gray substance. And it's made up of fusiforms, in other words, spindle-shaped cell bodies. And it is from this colostrum that contains a yellow substance within its outer grayish exterior that a wonderful, priceless, now get this, oil is formed. And it flows down into the olivary fistulas and descending with the rubrospinal tract through the reticular formation in the pons and in the medulla, which is a part of your brain, the lateral columns of the spinal cord. Now, it terminates in the gray matter of the spinal cord, probably giving off collaterals to responding nuclei in the brainstem. And that's what I just read to you from Santee. This is the oil, the precious gift that the Bible speaks about. David said in Psalms 23, "Thou anointest my head with oil and my cup running over. Well, what was David actually talking about? He was actually talking about this oil that comes from the colostrum of the brain that's at this pole, that is at the door of Brahm, beneath the door of Brahm, this island, and beneath that the colostrum of the brain in the cerebellum that secretes this wonderful oil, this precious oil that then starts a journey downward through the body, coming from the North Pole, through the body, coming down the spinal cord. Now, this oil is the most sacred substance of the body because it is the quintessence of gold. It's the gold of Ophir. Now, Dr. Blair is going to really jump on this one when he gets a chance, but most truly a rare gift. Goblets of oil, goblets of oil, are found in the vital fluids, in the semen, and in the and when the prodigal son in the Bible that we read about wasted his substance, we find that it takes a long time to replace the deficiencies and to make up, what he had lost. Now, this wonderful oil is the secret work of Immaculate Virgin Mary, or the waters Mary. The word Mary, we get the word maritime, marina, it means waters. That's what the word Mary means. That's why we use the word maritime or marina, because it has to do with water. And in chemistry, we find that the sulfate, potassium, is the mineral salt, which, uniting the sulfur with oxygen, manufactures this oil. I'll say that again, because you need to know this, that the sulfate potassium is the mineral salt that, uniting with sulfur and oxygen, it manufactures this oil. And so we find that this salt also crystallizes out in the form from the mother liquids of the seawater or salt spring. People born under the sign of Virgo, if they have become deficient in this salt, suffer from dryness of skin and baldness. And we can also understand why draining the vital fluids, living in excess, if you go overboard doing a lot of things, will produce a baldness. And there are no oils. If there were no oils in the body, the skin would become harsh and dry. And the story of the virgins who, in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, that had no oil in their lamps, is given to emphasize the importance of having this oil, this precious gift that comes from the colostrum, this secret place, Santa, holy place, holy Santa Claus, Santa, secret Claus, colostrum, this closed place where this oil, this gift comes from. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the journey of this oil, and then I'm going to stop. Because on either side of the thalamus in the head, there's a gland known as, we've been talking about it quite a bit, it's called the pineal gland on the posterior. And the pituitary gland is on the anterior of the thalamus. There's a gland on either side of the thalamus in the head known as the pineal gland on the posterior, and the pituitary gland on the anterior side of the thalamus. Now, the pineal gland is shaped like a cone, and it secretes a yellow, golden fluid. And the pituitary body is opposite, is ellipsoid in shape, and it contains a kind of white secretion like milk. And the fluids that are found in both of these bodies come from the same source, the colostrum. The colostrum, the claw, the secluded place, that place, these oils come from the colostrum. What the pineal gland secretes is this yellow, and the pituitary gland secretes this white-like milk substance. Well, those substances come from the colostrum, which means the barrier, as we said before, enclosed, secluded place, and it's in your brain. And it refers to the cloister. For very good reasons, because of the precious oil and holy that is secreted and secluded there. So Santa Claus or Santa Claus is another form for this precious fluid, which is indeed a holy gift. Now, we can see that something in this story that was told by the ancestors years and millennia ago and centuries ago about Santa Claus was really a story, because we know it is an allegory story. We know it's not real. But they told us a story that no one ever told us, that it was a process of some physiological chemical processes happening in our bodies, that this clause, a cloister, or comes from the colostrum of the brain, would secrete an oil that is a very precious gift to every cell, every part of our anatomy, every molecule in our anatomy. It brings the precious gifts from the brain, infusing them. Now listen to this. When this oil comes from the colostrum of the brain, and then this precious oil begins to flow down, it is separated at the pineal gland, at the posterior, and at the pituitary gland, at the anterior of the thalamus gland, and it is differentiated. By differentiated, I mean that this oil now becomes one substance at the pineal gland that is yellow like honey, and it's sweet, smelling sweet to the taste, and it is electric. It is electric. It is positive. At the pituitary gland, it becomes white like a milk substance, and it is magnetic. So we have both magnetic and electric. We have electromagnetic energies going through our bodies that is happening as a process, and it's all told in this story about Santa Claus. Now, I really want to stop and start entertaining some questions here to give you a few moments to talk, because this yellow that has these electric properties and the pituitary body having the milk-like fluid has magnetic properties. And these two glands are male and female, positive and negative, are really the Joseph and Mary in your body. They're the Joseph and Mary in your body. And the children of Israel, having been given the promise of a return to this land flowing with milk and honey, you can find the actual fulfillment of that right inside of your own body, the land of milk and honey. For when these two substances that starts out as one substance reaches the solar plexus in your body via the semi-lunar ganglia, the place in the body in Hebrew called Bethlehem or the house of bread, when it reaches the solar plexus, in the solar plexus, a thimble-shaped depression or cave or manger is behind the stomach. And this oil is deposited into this thimble-shaped cavity. And every 29 and a half days, when the moon is in your sign that you were born in, your sun sign, a seed is born. A child is born. Under us, a child is born. Under us, a son is given. A seed. Right in our own body. The birth of Christ. The birth of what we call Jesus. The baby born in a manger. In the solar plexus, in a thimble-shaped depressed cavity behind the stomach every 29 days. And you just had an immaculate conception. The psychophysical seed called the fish is formed there, and that Jesus is born. Now, before birth, the human fetus floats like a fish in the water, and is in the fluids by which it is surrounded. And it is with the child formed on the regenerative plane in our bodies. So it is with the spiritual child born in the solar plexus of Bethlehem. Joseph and Mary, by furnishing the material for the spiritual child, which was to redeem the child or or the body formed in regeneration paid the symbolic redemption money. Now, the Holy Ghost, the word for Holy Ghost in the Hebrew is ruach, and it means breath, it means wind, it means mind. So what are we looking at here? We're looking at gas. We're looking at the pneumogastric nerve as it reaches into this cavity. And the pneumogastric nerve there, when it releases its gas or its wind or its breath blowing on this oil, that seed is formed. Thus, the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit has blown or conceived in all of us a wonderful blend of the spiritual and the physical plane, bringing the reality from the unseen, invisible world into the reality of the material world. Let me say that a different way. What I want to say to you is that reality is spiritual, and that's the cause. The material aspect is only the effect of a beautiful spiritual cause that has already taken place someplace else. So we have to learn and struggle to learn the science of what's happening in the unseen world. And we can do this if we understand what we're looking at in the seen world with what we can see. Now, I'm going to stop right there and open up Q&A because it's Christmas and I know you all have a lot to talk about.
Q&A session started.
You may want to talk. You may want to jump in on this subject and take it even deeper than what I have. I could go a little deeper, but I'm trying to be a little light tonight and tell you about the real meaning of Christmas. And I think just in recapping, as I wait for you to come in the queue and have comments or questions or whatever, I'll just recap one more time and just say that the Santa Claus story is actually a process that happens above you. But it's also a process that happens in you. You are intimately and intricately tied to what's above you. As above, so below. As within, so without. The macrocosm is above you, and it is only, you are really made in the image of the universe, and the temple of the tabernacle of the heavens is also the same exact duplicate pattern of the temple or tabernacle that you have. You are a walking universe inside of you. We should really learn what are these processes that go on the inside of us, how to regulate them, and what the laws are that govern them. And we can easily do that by looking at the laws above us, how they are regulated. And at this time of the year, you notice that we start feeling warm and we want to be around family and we want to give. You get the Christmas spirit and those that have taken advantage of knowing that this is something that's happening inside of us internally have sought to commercialize it and turn it into something that they can make money off of because it's a natural way that we feel during this time of the year based on the cosmic energies that are coming above us and in us. And so they take advantage of us, and they commercialize this great process, and let's spiritualize it. So I got the Q&A open. Those who want to come in, they have comments or say anything, I could go further, but I'm going to stop right there and wait for you to come in. If you don't come in, I'll start playing the music, and I'll shut down. I'm waiting on you.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
When we participate in this whole charade of Santa Claus with our children as parents and grandparents for however long, 7, 8, 9 years.
Oh, this is going to be deep.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And the Easter Bunny, too. You know, is that not also playing into the hands of, shall we call it, the powers that be? To, at a very young age, give disillusionment to our children so that they begin to question, why would my parents or my grandparents tell me a lie for me to find out that Santa Claus isn't real, the Easter Bunny isn't real? I'm wondering if you could comment on the psychological damage that that does to us as children and how, what that leads to as adults.
Is it a picnic basket, Yogi? No, fool, it's a trap. I think you just set a trap for me.
I didn't mean to.
Yeah, but you know, of course, and I'm going to get redundant here in saying it, but because I've said this, you know, so many times before. So much is happening in the process of what you just said. First of all, we're conditioning ourselves to become immune to truth. Mm-hmm. And that's a conditioning. We're conditioning and programming ourselves psychologically to become immune to truth. And so that we develop an affinity to a lie at a psychological and a spiritual level. Now, there's a lot happening in that process because now it becomes more difficult, as I said, immune to truth, for people to receive truth. Now, what is so important about truth, and this is where I get redundant until I learn a new way of expressing this. We are built, our physical, spiritual, our entire being is built to function by truth. If we do not function in truth, we change the currents, the electromagnetic currents in our bodies. You can charge your body with truth, and you can charge your body with lies. And the two have a different charge, and they have a different effect. They have a different effect on your DNA, and they have a different effect on your cell. They have a different effect. Someone's texting me. I guess you know. Okay. All right. I'm getting distracted there a little bit. Someone's texting me. Get in the queue. All you have to do is press start. So what I'm saying is that when we lie, we are hurting ourselves at a spiritual, psychological, and physical level.
But we're hurting our children, too, by perpetuating that lie.
We are hurting ourselves and our children because we when I say ourselves, I mean our children.
Okay.
We're hurting them spiritually, which cannot be disconnected from psychologically, which cannot be disconnected from physiologically. We are hurting at three levels. We are tripart beings. Just as the sun, the ancients taught, and we know that the sun was three parts, okay? We know that the sun is mind. We know that the sun is spirit, and we know that the sun is matter. We know this. We know that the sun is just like a person. It's mind. There's an intelligent mind behind this, and that intelligence operates in truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that truth proceeds from the invisible spirit to the mind, which is invisible to the matter. And so when we perpetuate or foster or continue a lie, then we are going against the intelligence or the person or the mind of this supreme pattern that we can observe and we can see. You had something else you wanted to say, so go ahead.
No, I think you covered that. So what you're actually saying is that by perpetuating the lie that our parents, our grandparents, kept this tradition, quotations, is that we are continuing the whole facade, and it does cause a disresonance. In the DNA of a child when this lie is perpetuated, correct?
Well, a lie actually has an electrical emission of a vertical green subtle energy that lets off radiation. Let me put it that way.
Mm.
Harmful radiation. If you can think of it in terms of radiation, it's like people are afraid of their microwave ovens and all of this kind of thing. Well, if you're walking around with a perpetual lie and your body has these electromagnetic signals that are going through it, as I just explained, This is why I say the pineal gland is a police. It will respond to truth. You don't have to worry about people who are ascending and people who are not ascending. People that are not walking in truth will not be able to deceive the pineal gland, because we are built anatomically, physiologically, we are built psychologically and spiritually as truth mechanism. We are to respond in truth. This is the whole thing that about the creation story and the woman believing the lie that the serpent told. The serpent is a form of energy. And we know that the coil in the vortex of the sun and the earth and the planet, and it spirals around the universe. We know that the energy, the serpent, is that's a symbol of the energy. Also, the medical symbol with the serpents flying around, that's a symbol of the energy. So what we're looking at is energy. Think of it in terms of energy. And we know that that story has to do with deception and lies. That changed. Now, watch this. In the Bible, says, in the day that you eat thereof or believe that lie, that the serpent, this energy, tells you, you shall surely die. Well, the death cycle set in. The death cycle set in because of what? The lie. Now let's see if we can slow down and walk through that simply. So that when, as the story goes in the Bible with Adam and Eve, to believe the lie now changes the electromagnetic signals that have been charged by this untruth that goes through the body, tells the DNA, and the DNA now begins to tell the cells to shift.
Okay.
It begins to tell the cells to shut down. So the cells in the body start shutting down. Why? Because of this signal. Because of this lie. And that's the harm that lie does. A lie does. Not only does it do that, but now there's something, there's an after effect to it. A lie, and then lets off an emission like a car lets off carbon dioxide. So that it does, not only does it harm the individual, it harms those that are around you that are exposed to that lie. It's like a nuclear blast and a fallout, nuclear radiation, if you want to look at it in that sense.
So we set our children up by participating in this to precondition them to the rest of the lies that come from the pulpit.
From the pulpit? Oh, my. You're calling me a liar. I stayed in the pulpit for 40 years.
Well,
I was a trained liar.
yeah, seminary.
Yeah, I was a trained liar. They trained me to lie because they didn't tell me the truth. They didn't tell me that Santa Claus and this story. It's just every year in the church we celebrate Christmas, and no one ever told me that this was actually a process of the oils coming down from the pole in my brain, from the colostrum, and that this Santa, sacred, holy oil, the gift to all the... Now, let's think about the story for a minute. Santa comes from the North Pole. He flies all around the world. He comes through the chimney, slides down the chimney, and he leaves gifts up under the tree for everybody. And he fills the stockings on the fireplace or whatever. He goes back up the chimney. Okay, now that's the story. Well, that is actually the process that happens in your body. That is actually what you see in the gospel, in the story that I read tonight, in the scripture, not the story, rather, in Ephesians. Who is he that descended, who is he that ascended, but he that descended first into the lower parts of the earth, and then he ascended. So Jesus Christ is a kind of Santa Claus, right? He comes down from heaven. He comes down and he gives gifts. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever, he so loved the world that he goes around the world. Anyone who accepts, but they didn't tell you. They didn't tell us that this is actually a process that happens in my body. And that the Bible tells me to make my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. There's that word holy, Santa Claus again. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. That there is actually a process of service, an order of service, like we go into church and we have an order of service. Well, if my body is a temple, then what is the order of service? What is the sacrifice being made? What happens in this temple? We've just attempted to explain it to you and take advantage of this time that we call Christmas to explain to you that the oil, the Christos, the oil that comes from the colostrum and the Santa Claus that comes down the chimney, down the spine, all through the body to bring these precious oils to every cell, carrying the electromagnetic energies that are charged with truth. And so if you do not charge this oil with truth, and you charge it, and you, this is the way you charge this, these oils, you charge it either with the truth by consciousness, or you charge it with a lie by consciousness. Each one has a consequence. Now, you can enlarge upon that however you want, and you can work out the, you can work it out in sicknesses, you can work it out in poverty, you can work it out however you want to work it out. The more truth we get, the healthier we get. The more lies we get, the more ill we become, the sicker we become, not only just individually, but as a culture, as a society. The more wars we get, the more lies we tell, the more corrupt we get, the more desperately ill our world becomes, the more polluted it becomes.
Yeah, you're making total sense. And what I have gleaned from your explanation this evening is that basically they
Q&A session is over.
They still go to great extent to
Q&A session started.
I'm sorry, I hit the button by accident. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay. But they went to great extent to keep us outside of ourselves rather than to go within. So this is why the symbol of giving gifts during holiday season is that we want to stay superficial rather than to go within to find those gifts. And that's where consumerism was born, correct?
You're teaching this lesson. You're helping me out. You must know that I'm struggling a little bit here tonight. But you are actually lecturing and giving a good point. Anytime you go out rather than go in, you're looking in the wrong direction. The kingdom of God is in you. And a lot of people say that, but they don't know how to explain it. They don't know what to tell you needs to happen in you. They can tell you greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They can tell you that the seed is in you, the word is in you, the faith is in you, the God is in you, Christ is in you, the Holy Ghost is in you. But they can't explain to you what it means. Now, I've just gone over some of the things that happen inside of you, but you are absolutely correct. If I can point you out, then I've pointed you in the wrong direction away from life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have someone in the queue. Let's stop and see what they want to say. 313.
We actually had another one, too, if this other person would come in.
We had 313.
Yeah, we got 313, but there was another person in the queue, too. When you
We got 313. Your mic is open. 313, your mic is open. Are you there?
Greetings. How you doing?
Hey, Dawu, is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
All right.
Hey, I have a quick question. What's the process for this? Well, I want to know the process. I know you explained what you have to do. It is a process. And I have a question behind that. Once you explain the process, like when you said when the seed comes and to bring it up to anoint, you know, the oil and throughout the bodies, but... And the other question I have is there a certain age limit? Can you be 12 and do it? Can you be 78 and do it? Can you be 5 and do it?
Those are excellent questions. Give me the first part of your question again.
The first part of the question is, when you prepare for the seed to come, right, on that day, right, when your sun, the moon is in your sun cycle, something like that, okay, then when it comes, you have to focus on positive things, and you have to try to raise the seed, a percentage of the seed up to the brain, right, to anoint that part of the brain. Now, what exactly do you need to do for that part? And then the second question was, is there an age limit?
Let me start at the back end, if I may, and tell you that normally around the age of 12 is when the seed is formed, and that corresponds to Christ going into the temple at the age of 12, okay? Normally at the age of 12 in puberty is normally when this seed forms. And it's beautifully told in the gospel, in the Bible, as Christ entering the temple and confounding the doctors at the age of 12. Now, as far as the span or the period of time when this seed forms, I think that's going to be relative. And that folds, that the answer to that folds itself into your first question, because you have to take care of these oils. And let me start with the oil that comes from the colostrum of the brain that comes down that we talked about that was differentiated and turns to negative and positive. Some things can damage this oil. And we've already talked about one thing that can damage this oil, and that was a lie. And the Bible lists seven things that are an abomination to God, okay? And a proud look, he that is swift to shed blood, a false witness, so on and so forth and et cetera. These things that are in beta wave activity, brain waves activity, slow-moving energies that are negative in terms of the damage that they do to this oil. Gluttony can destroy it. That will cause, if you eat too much and you're constantly eating too much and your body becomes sulfuric or acidic, which is one of the things that causes cancer, which means that the cells are disorganizing themselves or either shedding down and dying off one by one, is because of too much acid. Of course, chemical substances or chemical addictions can also destroy the quality of this oil. This oil, you have to protect this oil. And because it is this oil that produces the seed that must be returned. Now, I'm focusing on the oil and not so much on the seed right now, because the oil is the thing that produces the seed in this depressed cavity behind the stomach in the solar plexus every 29 and a half days when the moon is in your sun sign. And it happens, it starts, as we said, when you're about 12. Now, there is going to be something perennial that is going to happen. And I don't quite know how to dig at this telling you the answer, because it's in symbolic allegorical terminology in the 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation, when it talks about the tree that is on both sides of the river being, of course, your spinal cord and the throne, and this crystal river that flows is symbolic of the oil. And these two trees that are on each side of the river in the 22nd chapter of Revelation says it has 12 manners of fruit on them and bearing fruit in each month. A moon. Moon, that's a symbol. Moon and month are the same. Moon, and it's kind of like what I'm trying to say to you here with this, that each month that this seed is born, and it makes it perennial. We will reach a point where we will perennially be regenerating our body, but not these bodies, but a body that we are going to, that is going to be transmutated into a glorious body if we make the change and we do what we were talking about a moment ago. Now, I know I've said a lot here, but let me just try to sum it up. There are seven things that will harm this oil, and I have them on slides. Seven things will harm this oil, and the Bible calls those things an abomination. Seven things are an abomination to God. Go through those seven things and preserve the quality of this oil. And then when that oil does its thing and forms the seed, now I think the next part of your question has to do with bringing the seed back. And that's another discussion. That's another discussion. Because, again, your body is a temple. And 10% of this seed has to be brought back, or the tithe that takes place in the temple where the Holy Ghost resides, according to 1 Corinthians 6:19, is your body. So taking tithes to a building made by hand, according to the Bible, Acts 7:48, God doesn't dwell in houses made by hand. So why would I take a tithe somewhere God's not living? Why would I take my money there? Am I making sense? Are you there? Am I talking?
Yeah. I'm here. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Are you listening to me?
I'm here.
Am I making sense?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
10% of this seed has to be saved by preserving the quality of this oil and not destroying the seed, because the seed, you can burn it up if you're a drunkard. And so when the Bible says in 1 Corinthians that no drunkard or adulterer nor effeminate shall enter into the kingdom of God, well, where is the kingdom? Inside of you. Well, you cannot get into the kingdom if you are guilty or you are participating in these activities.